Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner today, Tom Withers, retired from the Associated Press, not retired from the Cleveland sports scene. In for Andy today, Dan Menigan, going like crazy. By the way, all press conferences here on The Fan are brought to us by Montrose Ford. Choose Click Cruise at montrosefordakron.com. And we'll have press conferences momentarily as day two of mandatory minicamp will be wrapping up here within the next 10, 15, 5, who knows, whenever they get done. But we'll hear from Kevin Stefanski and Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, Deontay Johnson, among the Browns speaking. We hope to hear from all three right here on the show. Tom, interested in hearing from Flacco and from Pickett and Deontay Johnson?
Of course I am. I'm also interested to find out if Jeff Phelps is watching the NBA Finals, which I'm assuming he is.
Darn right I am. I got to tell you how much I am enjoying the Indiana Pacers.
God.
And I'm enjoying them for this reason. Wait a minute. That's ball movement. That's body movement. That's finding the open man. And you're playing harder than everybody else. How difficult is it, Tom?
It's not. Boy, I tell you, they're making you really rethink in many ways what kind of an offense you run.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're not reliant on high ball screen, you know, bringing the big out, getting the mismatch. They're running people all over the place.
Move the ball like crazy and find the open man.
And, you know, and Haliburton is such an interesting player because he can take over when he needs to. He can find his shot when he needs to. But he's trying to set up his other guys. Yeah. He's trying to get everybody involved and get them touches. And I'm with you, Jeff. I've just been blown away by the way they've played. The other part of it,
they don't let up, Tom.
They don't either. The relentlessness is just uncanny. Oklahoma City is also a fabulous team. And I know people, nationally are saying two small markets, nobody really cares, nobody's paying attention. Well, I tell you what.
Basketball fans are.
Yep. And I tell you what, you better pay attention to SGA because that kid is going nowhere and he's only getting better and he's 26 years old. And he is on the brink of superstardom.
And he went 3 picks after the Cavs took Colin Sexton.
Don't remind me.
But I'm letting that go. I'm letting that go. I my only concern, and I have found myself without question pulling for Indiana.
Right.
And I wasn't sure who I was pulling for when they were playing the Knicks. And then the game got going, and I was immediately pulling for Indiana because I just love the way they play. Although I like the way the Knicks played, too.
I did, too.
But I was pulling for Indiana. And they did not look good in game two. They fell behind by double digits in the second quarter and then never got under double digits again, which was rare for them. And I want to see how they bounce back today in game three.
I'm with you. I think they almost felt a little bit like we got a little bit of house money here, right? We stole the first one. Yeah.
I hate that, but
I
yes.
do too. I hate that mentality, but it's, you know, they're humans and it's bound to happen. Since I haven't talked to you since the end of the Cavs season, and I know there's a lot of speculation and things, you know, bubbling with the team, and we will get back into this at some point. It's not the topic of the day. I think I'm in the minority, Jeff, in talking to people around town. I don't trade any of the core four, and I know that may sound almost preposterous in that you've got to make some changes, but I feel like what you need to do, and we've seen this throughout the years, NBA championships are won by usually guys 5 through 9 who you have on that roster, right? It's about developing a better and a deeper bench and a bench that maybe complements your first team more than this one does. I still hold on to these four guys because I know what I've got in them. First of all, in my mind, Mitchell and Mobley are untouchable.
Without question.
I could make an argument that you could move Darius and get, you know, back a more competent defensive player, et cetera, et cetera. I still like Darius. I still think there's upside with him as well. And I feel the same way about Jared Allen. You know what you're getting in him. Now, granted.
And Tom, if you move Jared, you need two more big men.
Exactly.
Because I think you need one now.
Exactly. It's not an addition by subtraction type of situation. No. You're going to have to figure out then, well, where am I going to get my 12 or 13 rebounds a game, right, if not from him? I feel like it's more about building a better bench to complement that team. That's my little take on the Cavs on June 11th. We'll see where it goes.
I am open to the idea of trading Darius Garland, but I don't think, and I've heard people say, you got to move Darius. No, you don't.
I don't think so.
You don't.
No.
You know why you would move Darius? Because some offer knocked your socks off and you think it makes it a better team.
That would be a reason to do it.
That's
for sure.
The only reason to do it. And I don't like the two small ball dominant guards. I'm not busting them up unless I get assets that make me a better team. And I think that's essential, Tom. And people, I've read too much now. You got to bust them up. No, you don't have to. You don't have to.
But if
you can improve your team, that's a different story.
Different story. That's exactly where I'm at. Thanks for clarifying that for me. That's kind of my stance right now on it all. And you know what? And Jeff, to your point, I mean, Kenny Atkinson was able to figure out last year how to use Donovan and Darius together in a complementary way, right? How one played off the other better. They got to get better. They got to improve. You know, I'm not saying run it back necessarily, but I'm saying I'd be very hard pressed to break up this core four right now.
I'm real curious to see. I'm assuming because Kobe Altman told us, even though I don't think he had a choice but to say this.
Right.
I'm assuming the core four will be back. That means he does have to tinker with the rest of the team.
Oh, no doubt.
As you said, it's the guys 5 through 9. And at the beginning of last season, everybody was saying how deep the team was, and they looked pretty deep, and they were getting some decent productivity. But you traded two of those pieces for one piece, and that hit your depth a little bit. I like DeAndre Hunter, but I'm a big Caris LeVert fan.
Same.
And George Niang.
I hated to see him go.
Yeah,
same with George, yeah.
George played well here. And George was a good force in that locker room. And that hurt your depth. And then you saw how good your depth was when you hit the playoffs, and that depth did not help you win games. That's what I think everybody needs to remember. Just because a guy can go play 15 minutes for you in a regular season game doesn't mean they can help you win at the most critical times.
And back to your Pacers, I mean, that's what they've been all about in these playoffs, right?
Everybody they've put on the floor has helped them.
McConnell. I know.
Obi Toppin's been real nice coming off the bench for them.
I never knew he could shoot like that.
I know.
I don't think he knew he could shoot like that.
You know what's impressed me about the Pacers? Miles Turner behind the three-point line. Wow.
And completely unafraid.
He just jacks it up. And he's getting, and if I'm playing them, I get it. He's getting open looks.
Oh, yeah.
Behind the three-point line. Well, I'm leaving him open behind the three-point line, except for one thing. He's hitting him.
Yeah.
Somebody better get out and get a hand on him.
Hell, Thomas Bryant has come off the bench and given them good minutes.
Who I always liked.
I did, too.
I thought...
Yeah.
And see, that's the type of an addition that Kobe Altman could make to the Cavs this offseason. Not Thomas in particular, but a guy
that
who's
kind
been,
of a player. I'm
right,
with you.
Yeah. A guy who's been around the league for a while. I saw the name Mark Williams, who failed his physical with the Lakers when they made that trade with Charlotte.
Oh,
and
right,
Dalton
right,
Connect
right,
was going
right.
to go to Charlotte. I've seen his name associated with the Cavs. Well, you get add Mark Williams to this team? That okay.
I like it.
And so I think they could use another big. But
they needed one of the deadline, Jeff. That still bothered me that they did not make a move there because I thought that was a glaring weakness.
I think it was exposed. So. I think so too, Tom.
Yeah.
But can you add a wing player who can help you? Can you develop a wing player who can help you? Maybe. You know, we'll see. But the way this team is built right now, is it an NBA championship team? I think not, but who's to say?
No, but not far away.
But who's, yeah.
Not far away from competing.
Add the right piece or two? I personally would start DeAndre Hunter next year.
Oh, I would too. I think that's a no-brainer in my mind.
I think so. Make Max Strus your super sub.
Exactly.
You know?
That's a better spot for Max.
Well, DeAndre's 6'8", and he plays good D on the wing, which is why you got him.
Yeah, and obviously there was still kind of a growing period going on with him and the team, right? I mean, got here yes. halfway through the year or more. So
and had been thriving coming off the bench in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And you traded two bench pieces to get him. So I understand maybe from a continuity standpoint, you thought that was the best way to go. Let's assume the core four is back. You put DeAndre Hunter on the floor with those guys. Well, then you've got a starting
I'll
five.
Take it. Yeah.
And then maybe you don't cut down everybody's minutes.
I'm glad you're watching the finals. I knew you were.
Oh, without question. It's been way too much fun. And
yeah, it's been good.
I've more than a few times checked Oklahoma City future trade or future draft pick assets.
They still got
They're
them.
They're still loaded.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
I know.
They're,
we talked about Presti a while back.
He's top-notch.
Magician, right?
He's top-notch.
Yeah.
He really is. Browns are in day two of mandatory minicamp. Have we told you? They're on the field. They won't be for long. And when they come over to the podium and speak, we're going to hear them right here and expected to speak. Kevin Stefanski, which we knew. Kenny Pickett. Joe Flacco. Deontay Johnson. Tom, to me, OTA's voluntary. What was Deontay Johnson thinking by not coming to voluntary on a new team after he was with Carolina, Baltimore, Houston, and Baltimore last year and had his image just trashed?
Not a great start to repair your reputation, right? I mean, who's advising a guy
I don't
like
know.
That, right?
I,
you gotta.
And again, voluntary. I get it.
And granted, there could
However,
right. We don't know. There could be some other circumstances
maybe.
There, right? There could be something personal going on with him.
Exactly.
It could have been an injury.
If not,
we don't know, but
if not,
you got some explaining to do.
You do, man. you got an image to repair,
yeah.
And you've got to go endear yourself to a new organization who desperately needs a wide receiver.
I was just going to say to you, based on the Browns' needs, this guy's got to look at this as what an opportunity.
I would think.
I can come in here and be 1A.
1A.
Yeah.
Not even 2.
No, exactly.
I mean, Jerry Judy's.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good. Deontay Johnson was damn good.
Gentlemen, I hate to cut you off. We now go live to Berea for Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski.
Is this sort of part of the plan with them?
Yeah, all part of the plan. He got reps today in a couple drills. But every day, like I've told you, we're going to be real intentional about how we divvy them up.
Kevin, this question is more appropriate now than it was in OTAs. Why hasn't Shador faced the number one defense?
Yeah, again, like I've told you guys, let's not look too much into who's out there when. We're in installation phase, we're in teaching phase, so not much to look into.
But just a quick follow-up on that, you know, as we do progress into training camp and get closer to these preseason games, or just closer to the season, is it reasonable to expect that someone who is practicing with the first team is under serious consideration to be starting quarterback?
Yeah, we're so far away from that type of thought process, Daniel. It's honestly, it's a we're in our installation phase. It's the off season. It's OTA, so we're going to keep the focus there. Once you get into training camp, of course, you're getting ready to play games and ultimately getting ready for playing the season. But right now, that's not our focus.
So, do you think that changes like day one of training camp, Kevin? Like you get back into rotation means more, and you have a depth chart in your head.
Yeah, I think we're using this off season. I think this is the we got one more practice to go, so we'll use all these practices like we have for every position to learn about our players and learn what guys do best and those type of things. I mean, obviously, like for a wide receiver, want to find out what routes he's comfortable with. For the quarterbacks, find out what concepts they're comfortable with. So that's really what this offseason has been about. Of course, your mentality changes a little bit as you get into training camp, but that's really not our focus right now.
Kevin, Dylan was talking yesterday about trying to fight the Amazon lifestyle, or the Amazon lifestyle, I think you said, where we all just expect everything to happen immediately and be with your feet are. Given the way, like, coverage has changed with the league since you've been, like, how can you empathize with these guys who are trying to just have more to battle on that front as they go through a competition than maybe guys used to?
Yeah, I think probably the biggest difference nowadays is social media. I would expect to listen, the news cycle is 365 days a year, and there's a lot of content and there's a lot of hours to fill, as you guys all well know. So we understand how popular our sport is, how interested our fans are in our sport. So we embrace that. We like that part. Having said that, once we get inside the building, we really do focus on where our feet are. We focus that we're here. We focus on what we have in front of us. And I think all of our players have done a great job of understanding that.
How do you try personally to try to block that stuff out? Like, what's your keep myself centered kind of?
I'm not on social media, probably number one. But listen, I've been in this sport long enough. The NFL, we know how popular this is, how much interest level there is. It's why our sport is so healthy. And we understand the important role our fans play in our sport. You know, this is when we get to training camp, we'll get our fans out here to be a part of this with us, which we're excited about. I'm excited to be in front of our fields at Huntington Bank Stadium, and that'll be, that's the fun part of this business for us is the competitive spirit with a fan base behind you. For right now, though, this is OTAs, and this is the focus really is on the work, and we're not going to let much else get in the way.
Kevin, how much will you take into account the opinions and the feedback of veterans, longtime veterans like Joel and Miles and Jerry and David and those guys, when you are making your quarterback decisions?
Yeah, I'm not there, Mary Kay, yet in terms of talking to other players about those type of decisions. I've leaned on players before for a variety of different things, but I'm not really there yet.
Kevin, no place kicking, is that unusual for your minicamp?
They have been kicking, just not necessarily out here, Tony. It's just part of their routine of when Dustin's getting ready to kick. He doesn't kick every day.
Kevin, has any of these undrafted guys jumped out at you now that you've had some OTAs?
They have. You know, I don't want to single any guys out, but I've been very impressed. I've been impressed with this rookie class in total. The guys are outstanding workers. They're like I've said to you guys, we have no issues. Guys are in early. They're working hard. But I include the drafted and undrafted guys when I say that. It's a really impressive class.
Well, Kevin, I know it's fine. There's
too much into this, but Deontay Johnson was 10th in line yesterday. Today was 4th. Is that just natural evolution?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's just, again, getting up to speed on some of the terminology and that type of thing. So, yes, definitely don't read into that.
Did you feel a need to have a conversation with him about what happened last year? Or was it just Andrew who did that?
Yeah, I've talked to Deontay. When we signed him, I had a good talk with Deontay.
You're okay? You're okay with this?
Yeah.
Kevin, I know it's hard at this point when you're not truly blocking out there, but just what are your early impressions of the cutting ability of Quinshon?
Yeah, it's hard. Like you mentioned, Darrell, it's hard to evaluate without pads on. Running back's a hard position to evaluate in these settings. I will tell you, with Quinshon, with Dylan, the young guys, and I'm, you know, I could talk about the room in general, but speaking about those two young guys, they've done a great job of learning the system, understanding their roles and what we're asking them to do. We've put a lot on their plates. So, yeah, of course, Q, you see in college tape, you see his cutting ability at that size is rare. Harder to see out here, although it does happen at times, but it's different when the defense isn't bringing you to the ground.
What are you hoping Deontay can add, given the success that he's had in this league?
Yeah, another veteran player that has had success in this league. We've gone against him, so I know what type of player he is, having been in the division with him, so know his skill set, but another veteran player.
I know that you...
Kevin Stefanski's press conference, Berea speaking right after practice. We're going right back.
Happened in the past, but I'm really focused on today and the future for Deontay.
Kevin, yesterday?
It'll be like a normal minicamp practice.
It'll be normal, a little bit shorter, a little bit earlier, but normal.
Kevin, yesterday you were talking about the discussions in the QB room between Joe and the younger guys and Kenny too. How have those types of conversations and like camaraderie in the QB room changed over the years you've been in the NFL when you have an older guy and then some younger guys, or does it just depend on the personalities in the room?
Yeah, I think it's so dependent on the personalities. I think back to Brett Favre and Tavares Jackson, Sage Rosenfels, Joe Webb. That was a fun room. It's just so dependent on who the guys are. And I've been very, very lucky, very, very fortunate to be in some great rooms with professionals, guys that work hard at their craft, but also we try to have fun while we're in there as well.
The hurry-up period, was that the first? Did you do that in OTAs?
We started to introduce some 2-minute into the offense and defense last week, and then started to work a little bit today.
What do you look for in the quarterbacks differently in like the high red, keep them in the red zone? Because we did a lot of that today.
Yeah, we've done a lot of red zone period for a bunch of different reasons. Number one, it's so important. Obviously, it's the scoring portion of our field. But number two, it's a nice way to take care of legs. So if you do a red zone drill, you're not running 50 yards, if you will. So you try to incorporate some red zone into what we do. But the game does change down there. The field becomes wider than it is long. A lot of those windows become extremely tight. Obviously, we're not working the run game right now, but in the run game, those running backs have to sometimes bring their own blocker. We're going to have a safety that we can't block. So the game really does change down there.
Kevin, in terms of...
You are listening to WKRK-FM and HD1 Cleveland Heights, Cleveland. Here's Kevin Stefanski.
The whole system, which for us essentially amounts to about 7 installs.
So that's about normal?
That's about normal, yeah.
Yep. Kevin, how is Jamari...
He's had a really strong spring. Is here all the time working on his body. Very intelligent player, can line up in multiple positions, which I think is valuable. And then he showed up. He's caught the ball well, and the quarterbacks like how he gets open. He finds a way to get open versus zone versus man.
Kevin, it's Mike Holland, David Bell that haven't practiced all offseason. Mm-hmm. Do you expect them to be ready to go when we get to training camp?
I'll have a better update as we get closer to training camp.
Good.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Kevin Stefanski. First of our press conferences from mandatory minicamp press conferences on the Fan. Brought to us by Montrose Ford. Choose Click Cruise at montroseFordAkron.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Expected to speak, Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Deontay Johnson. And we're going to stick right here and listen for them coming up. Tom, Deontay Johnson, questions there for Kevin Stefanski. He said, I talked with him when we signed him. I would bet he said this, clean slate. And opportunity.
There you go. What more could you ask for?
I would think nothing more.
You know, Kevin is so dang polished, isn't he?
Well, he is.
It's different for me. Like I said to you guys earlier, it's different for me now being on the outside and listening to these news conferences. And I get a little bit frustrated sometimes with the line of questioning, but I also have an appreciation for how difficult it can be to extract like legitimate, real good information from him in this setting. We didn't really learn anything in that little segment, unfortunately.
That is correct.
Which is kind of the point.
He had a conversation with Deontay Johnson into who's up first and who's up second.
Correct.
Is basically what he said.
And obviously hearing from the veteran quarterbacks today will be big, as well as hearing from Deontay Johnson. You know, the installation phase, we knew all this was happening. Good to hear him say positive things about Quinshon and his cutting ability, which we are watching on X as well, and it does look legitimate. There's not a lot to say. I mean, you and I have been kicking this around for the last couple of hours. This is real early. It's June 11th. They're seeing what they need to see. Don't read too much into who's out there first with whom. That's just how it goes. They're just setting up practice. I didn't realize that Michael Hall has been out the entire time, as well as David Bell. So that's not encouraging.
No.
I mean,
well, Michael's coming back from his injury.
Especially Hall. Yeah. I mean, you want to see him out there as soon as you can.
The idea of Michael Hall and Mason Graham together.
Side by side. Oh. Boy, that sounds nice, doesn't it?
Tom, that's 5-7 years right there. You hope you have your defensive tackles taken care of.
You want to be able to lock into those guys. So not a whole lot there, but we'll learn some more for sure.
The one thing about what's going on out there, and you mentioned the line of questioning and stuff, I think people need to remember, when you're talking to coaches, players in press conferences, the idea is not to show them how smart you are. The idea is to get them to give you an answer. And so, you know, when you hear some questions, understand that they're being asked to elicit an answer.
Yeah.
You know, not to... You know, you might think, well, that's a stupid thing to ask. Well, not if you get a great answer.
That's so good, Jeff. You're exactly right. I can't tell you. So I'll give you guys a little bit of insight. So when you hear the Monday news conferences following a game.
Oh, yeah. Those are rough ones.
They are rough. But I will tell you that, like, myself and Scott Petrak, we would normally call each other before the news conference if it was on Zoom. And it's typically on Zooms now on Mondays, right? We don't have availability.
Which is nice. You don't have to drive the Berea.
Right, true. But we would also try to figure out, how can we get something out of Kevin? And I've always talked to other media members about
this.
It's like, it's how you, in many ways, it's how you present the question.
Sure,
right?
It is.
It's always about that, right? Yeah. It's like, you don't want to get too long-winded. You want to cut to the chase. You want to try to, if possible, back him into a corner.
You don't need to spew to a coach your thoughts on football.
No, correct. And you don't want to necessarily be, I mean, you want to be tough, right? You want to hold them to account. That's what our job is about. You don't want to necessarily be adversarial because, oh, by the way, you have to work with this person going forward. So
hopefully for years.
Yeah. So there's one thing about, I know everybody's like, oh, you know, Withers, you ask such softball questions. You're just kind of teeing them up and you got to pick your spots. You got to know when it's time to be kind of a jerk and when it's time to, you know, ask the easy question or give, not necessarily give them the out, but don't, you know, you don't hold their feet to the fire all the time. You can't.
Oh, you can't.
But, and I also know that, you know, fans get frustrated because they want the tough questions asked. And I think we, and I say we as a Browns and Cleveland media in general, do a good job of asking what's necessary and what's appropriate on a given day or after a given game. Sometimes you just don't get the answers you want, and that's just the way it is.
Hey, real quick sidelight, we're going to go back next time we have a press conference here. Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, Deontay Johnson coming up. John McNamara on an Indians media tour way back in the day, and it was at Tangiers in Akron. And, you know, Johnny Mack's a vet, right? He's been around forever. And I'm sitting there, I'm getting ready to talk to him, and we just, you know, kicked it around for like a minute tops. I look at my camera guy and, you ready to go? Yep. Okay, good. And I looked at Johnny Mack and I just thought I'd say something stupid really quick to loosen him up. And I said, well, what do you think? How do you feel? He went for a minute and 50 seconds, answered everything I possibly would have asked him. And I said, thanks.
That'll do it.
We were done.
That's great.
So I got everything I needed by asking, what do you think? How do you feel? That was it.
Sometimes that's all it takes, yeah.
That's all it takes because he knew he was there to talk. Told me everything we need.
Speaking of McNamara, I've heard from several people that he was one of the great cussers of all time. Just really knew how to use that language in appropriate ways. Yes, he did. Yeah. So, I know. And I know it's frustrating for fans because you want to get to the bottom of things, but sometimes it takes a lot more digging than you're realizing.
I want to go back to something that Chris Easterling told us at 10:40 when he joined us, covers the Browns for the Beacon Journal. He's out there at mandatory minicamp. You'll hear him asking questions coming up here when Kenny Pickett comes up to the podium, when Joe Flacco comes up. I asked him, does Pickett look better, different than the other guys? Because my hope is that he does, because
he wins a job.
Former first round pick wins the job. He's got some experience, was with a Super Bowl winner. And Chris said, he looks like the other guys.
Not encouraging.
Not encouraging.
No.
Because if I'm Kenny Pickett, this is.
You need to stand out.
It's my last chance, probably, Tom, to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
I know it's real early to say that about a guy who's only a 3-year vet, but. Okay, Pittsburgh decided you weren't their starting quarterback. They brought in Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. And you wanted out of there. I get it. You know, if you were a first-round pick and they just brought in Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, you're not the guy. You might not even stick.
Right. Well,
but
good point.
If he comes here where there's a job to be won and your competition is a 40-year-old who's had five really good games in the last, like, 8 years, they were here. We loved him. And a guy who's a third-round pick and a guy who's a fifth-round pick, and if you can't beat them out, you're on the track to career backup.
Yeah, and he may be. Or he's going to, you know, resurrect his career, if you will, and like you said, take advantage of the opportunity and become a full-time starter. I've been a little bit mixed on him. I'll be honest with you, Jeff, over the years. Like, you know, he didn't get a whole lot of run in Pittsburgh. I mean, he played, what, he made 20-some starts, I think, right?
He was 15 and 10.
Yes, okay.
I believe he was a starting
15
quarterback.
15 and 10, right? Then he gets shuffled off.
Yep.
And then back up last year with the world champions, right? So that's, you know, you hope he took something from that experience. So I'm with you. And if nothing else, Jeff, you want him to play competently enough and well enough that he's going to draw maybe some outside interest to free you up from this logjam that you may have if you decide to go with Joe as your starter and Dylan as your backup and Shadur on the practice squad or however it shakes out.
Yeah. There are so many avenues for this thing to go, Tom.
Oh my God.
Because
right?
if Pickett shows that he's no better than Gabriel or Sanders, then why would you keep him?
You'd move him as soon as you could.
You certainly would.
Yeah.
And you would start Flacco.
Yeah.
That's why I've said it's disappointing to me if Flacco's the starter. You gave the exact reason why Flacco should be the starter. My hope is that one of the three young guys shows that he might have a chance to be the franchise quarterback of this team. But if Pickett,
that's the goal this year.
Yeah. Right. Pickett doesn't do that, then it screams, okay, either the two young guys aren't ready and we have two first-round picks next year and who knows what else you can come up with. You can go ahead and start Joe and kick the can down the road,
yeah,
either with Gabriel or Shadur developing or drafting a guy next year. But the longer you kick that down the road, in theory, Tom, the longer you stay away from contention.
And that's such a scary scenario, Jeff, because then you start worrying about injuries, and then all of a sudden you get a situation like you had a couple years ago where suddenly Dylan Gabriel or Shadur Sanders are starting in week four or something.
And if they're not ready,
not
there goes your season.
Oh, God. I know.
It's just not a good situation. So that's why all along I've been pulling for Pickett, because if he can actually do something,
that settles things down. I get you. Yeah.
You might have a quarterback that you can start for 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
And if you get into next year's draft, let's say you're okay this year, whatever your record ends up being, if you're not in position to draft a quarterback that you really like, then again, you don't have to force it.
No.
You know, and you have a guy that you think we can play. And so if he does well, it gives you more options.
I agree. And you got those two first round picks that you want to hold on to, right? I mean, it gives you a real runway to maybe getting back into contention.
If one of these guys is really good, and I don't care which one it is, if it's Joe, you still need a quarterback because of his age. But if it's one of the other three guys, the younger guys, and they end up, let's just say, Tom, they become even Sam Darnold. Let's say they become Geno Smith. You know, they become Baker going to Tampa.
I'd sign up for any of those.
And then you can, next year, you take a highly rated wide receiver. You take a left tackle. All of a sudden, you're a different football team, you know?
I'm with you.
Can that happen? Mandatory minicamp ended for day two. Players speaking, Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco coming up, Deontay Johnson as well. You will hear those people right here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.